The United Church of God presents Gary Antion with a sermon titled, Remember the Sabbath to Keep It Holy. It was recorded June 8, 2013 in Cincinnati East, Ohio.
What does the Sabbath day mean to you? Is it special? When I look at some of the commentaries on Sabbath, they're very quick to tell you that, well, no, that doesn't mean Sabbath. Well, that doesn't mean for us today. And many religions will tell you, and I can read you religion after religion that endorses the Ten Commandments. But they say when you come to number four, as we would number them, as most Protestants would, or number three, as the Catholics would number them, the Sabbath, keep the Sabbath day holy, they would tell you, well, that's the principle is one in seven. So just take one in seven. It really doesn't mean that that day is very special. Is it just like any other 24-hour period to you, except you just go to church on that day? What is the Sabbath day to you? Could you possibly minimize its importance and ultimately forget it? The Israelites did. The Israelites did. And are you aware that it's the one commandment that God had to reteach Israel? When they were in the wilderness, God gave them manna. He gave them 6 days of manna. On the sixth day, they could gather double. If they tried to gather double on the fifth or fourth or third or second, it spoiled and stank and smelled the next morning. But not on the sixth day. When they gathered it that day, it lasted through the seventh day. And God said he did this for them because he wanted to teach them the Sabbath day, number one. And number two, he wanted to find out whether or not they would walk in his laws or not. It was a test commandment for Israel. We'll see that in Exodus chapter 16. The title of this sermon is, Remember the Sabbath, Keep It Holy. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Now, I'm not putting the Sabbath up above every other commandment. Some religions do, who keep the seventh day. I'm not putting up above, but I'm not putting it below either. And it is interesting, its place in the Ten Commandments is approximately in the middle, number four, as we do it. Maybe not quite in the middle as Catholics would number them. They make numbers one and two together. They count number two, not for them, don't take God's name in vain, and number three for them is the Sabbath. Then they make two out of the last commandment, don't covet your neighbor's wife and don't covet your neighbor's goods. So they make 9 and 10 out of coveting instead of numbers one and two. So, but the point being, all of them have it, but it's right in the middle. God didn't leave it at the end where you could conveniently forget it, or at the beginning, well, I'm just starting off, oh, I skipped that one at the beginning. It's right in the middle, and yet they've left it out. I'll share with you when I come to Hebrews 4, verse 9, some of the comments that are made about that. Oh, that can't mean the weekly Sabbath. We don't want that to mean the weekly Sabbath. And yet if you check the Greek word, we find out that that Greek word indeed means keeping a Sabbath, and checking some of the Greek commentaries and some of the Greek lexicons. Let's take a look, first of all, at Exodus chapter 16, verses 4 and 5, and let's ask, why is this commandment so important? What are some of the purposes of this commandment? When should we keep it? And how will we use that wonderful fourth commandment? Exodus chapter 16, verses 4 and 5, we read what God did with the Israelites as he taught them about the fourth commandment before there ever was a codified list of the Ten Commandments. Now, we believe the Ten Commandments were in existence, were known throughout the years of the patriarchs and the early prophets. We believe it was that God taught his law. He taught them the basis of his law. But in Exodus chapter 16, verse 4, we read this. Then said the Lord to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. In verse 5, and it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So they taught the people that, told them what they should do. Skipping down to verses 19 and 20, and Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. So if you went and gathered, and they went and gathered it up, but if they leave it till the morning, it's going to stink. Verse 20, notwithstanding, they hearkened not to Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was upset at them because it stinks throughout the whole camp. I remember one year we had somebody brought fish, fresh fish, and put it in the microwave. Everybody in the building knew what he was eating. Not just in the dining area, in the whole building. We had to make a ban. You cannot cook fish here at lunchtime. That's before we had Connie and her the services at the kitchen to make lunch for them. So they had fish, and I mean, it stank throughout the whole. What is that smell? People say, they walk in the building. What is that smell? It's fish. Okay. This wasn't fish, but this stank. Okay, this really stank. All right, let's take a look at verses 23 to 30. And he said to them, this is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath to the Lord. Shabbat means rest, cessation of work, rest. Shabbat. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today. Seethe that, boil that which you're going to boil. And that which remains over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. So you want to use this manna, you want to bake. You're going to bake it, whatever you're going to bake, do it today. And they laid up till the morning, as Moses told them, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm in it. So they gathered twice as much on the sixth day, kept it over, and it didn't stink, and no worms. Verse 25, and Moses said, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. So God's not going to give you any today. You're not going to find any. 6 days shall you gather it, but on the seventh day, again, throughout history, the Sabbath has been the seventh day. Catholics, years ago, taught that you can search the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and you'll never find one scripture endorsing Sunday. That was their teaching. You cannot find it. The only reason the Protestants keep Sunday is because it was changed by the Catholic Church. They actually said that. So you Protestants who claim to believe the Bible, you can search from Genesis to Revelation, you cannot find one proof that God ever changed the Sabbath from the seventh day to the first. But we changed it using our authority that they believe was given to them to change laws. So going on, he says in verse 27, and it came to pass that they went out, some of the people, on the seventh day to gather, and they found none. You always have your rebels, right? They don't listen to you. You tell them something, they don't listen to you. They're going to run out to do it. And the Lord said to Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? What did God say about it? You don't listen to me. You don't obey. And he said in verse 29, see that for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place until the seventh day. On the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, which was the Sabbath. So let's take a look at this commandment a little more carefully and understand what that day, why that day is so important to God, and why that day is so important for us, this day, this seventh day of the week. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11, I looked up in several different versions. I looked up interlinear to make sure I could try to give you a reading out of what the scriptures say. But Exodus 20 and verse 8 is also found in Deuteronomy 5, where he also lists the Ten Commandments. He talks about the Sabbath there a little bit differently, but in the main, exactly alike, except for that he adds a different aspect of it. But Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I'll read through it and then come back and analyze. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. Notice he doesn't say your wife. So all you wives can break the Sabbath. That isn't what he's saying. The commentaries will bring out, it is assumed that in you, he's talking about to the male head of the home, and that his wife, as the two being one, would be right there with him. So it's not deliberately omitting her, telling her she's okay, because it mentions about the children, son and daughter, manservant, maidservant, even your cattle, or stranger that is in within your gates. Verse 11, he says, for in 6 days the Lord made or readjusted the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that in them is. He's talking about the recreation, not the original creation here. And rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Interesting, the word hallowed it, is the same Hebrew word as to keep it holy. The word to keep it holy and hallow, same word. And it comes from the Hebrew word kadosh, which has to do with setting it apart, which has to do consecrating it, appointing it, dedicating it, hallowing it, keeping it holy, sanctifying it, among other words, the kadosh is translated in the Old Testament. It is also interesting when we go back to Genesis, which we will in a moment, that the word he uses when he sets apart that day and made it holy, kadosh, same thing as it's mentioned here. So two times it's mentioned, this day is set apart. This day is special. So look at verse 8. He says, first of all, remember. When he says remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, to set it apart, to make it special, when he says remember it, he's telling them, you knew about this before. And they did. Exodus 16. We read about it in their trek through the wilderness. They learned about God's Sabbath day. God made a covenant with them later on and reminded them about the Sabbath day and how important it was for them to keep it so that they might know him and that he might know them. The Sabbath day was known even from the beginning. Even from the beginning. You'll see that when I read some of Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown's commentary on this section of scriptures, which is fascinating because Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown seem to endorse the Sabbath. And endorse it as a universal law that ought to be kept by everyone. So verse 8, he says, remember the Sabbath day. That implies it was once known. The word Sabbath or Shabbat can mean rest. And keep it holy is a phrase that comes from the Hebrew kadosh. Sanctify it. Set it apart. Make it special. Keep it special. I remember a survey I did of all the minister's children. Would you believe at one time at Ambassador College in Pasadena and Big Sandy, we had over 150 children who were children of elders. And they filled out a survey for me, and I asked them what was special about the Sabbath day. What was special that they did? And almost a large majority said Friday nights. Friday nights, our family always made that a special dinner. And we always sat down and made that evening special to help work go into the Sabbath day itself. So I thought that was really, really neat that so many of them, that was their one special memory of their family, was what they did on that Sabbath evening, Friday evening as they began the Sabbath day. Verse 9, he says, 6 days you shall labor. Does that mean if you don't work 6 days a week, you're breaking this law? Then you could never take a vacation. You could never take a vacation day. And if you work 6 days, does that mean 12 hours a day or does that mean 24 hours? Because, you know, the Bible divides it into day and evening. So you have to work. If you don't work 12 hours, are you sinning? The understanding of this verse is more like this. 6 days are for your business. 6 days are for your pursuits. You can do what you want on those days. That's your days to do it. 6 days are for your pursuits. But it does not mean you could never take a vacation or have a day of recreation or a sick day. What if you're sick? I got to get out and work. I'll break that commandment. So you have to be careful how you take and read the scriptures and not understand them. And it actually meant you shall not do work on every day or every kind of work. Because if you take the literally, if you talk about don't work at all on the Sabbath day, when you move, you work. You can find out what work in physics is, moving, moving a muscle. You're not working in that same sense, but it's not doing your affairs. So he goes on, so he gave 6 days for us to do our business and our activities. But verse 10, he says, but the seventh day, doesn't say one in seven. He doesn't say pick whichever one you want. I know you're anxious to do your own thing. Have at it. He said, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. And the reason you can only keep the Sabbath day holy on a weekly basis is because it's the only one that was made holy on a weekly basis. I remember going visiting with Mr. Hal Baird, who's deceased now, but he was my mentor, my teacher for 9 months when I was out as a trainee from college with him for a nine-month period. And I remember he would use the expression, if I gave you a pot of cold water, could you keep it hot? So I give you cold water. Can you keep cold water hot? No. You have to make it hot. Then you could keep it hot by keeping it on warm on the stove. But if it's not made hot to start with, it's impossible to keep cold water hot. You cannot keep a day holy that's never been made holy. And that's why in the very beginning in Genesis, God put his presence into that day. God didn't need to rest. God doesn't rest. Jesus Christ said, my Father and I work hitherto. We work all the time. He didn't need to put his presence. I mean, he didn't need to rest on that day, but he did need to put his presence into it. He made the seventh day after creation special. Special to him and special for us. Special to him and special for us. So the seventh day is not one in seven, not one in seven, but it is a day not to do your normal activities or your pursuits, nor your family or your servants or your animals. They even say, you know, even the animals get a day off. You're not supposed to go out there and drive your animals in the field. They get a day off. Animals can keep the Sabbath. My dog used to keep the Day of Atonement, and we didn't eat. She didn't eat. We put food down there, but she wouldn't eat because she didn't see us eating. So animals, but again, there are no other provisions. The Jews don't have any other provisions of why animals are going to be blessed or they're going to be in the kingdom because they keep the Sabbath day. But if they're your animals, you're not supposed to be out using them for your work. You're supposed to take care of them too. And it's interesting, if there's a stranger, he says a stranger in that land, nor your stranger that is within your gates. Stranger means a foreigner, an alien, someone who's visiting from another country, another area. Even he should be entitled to keep the Sabbath. And one commentary points out, which I'll read to you in a moment, that this shows that the Sabbath day was not just a Jewish day. It was not just a Jewish day. So he says, you shall, nor the stranger within your gates, that's verse 10. Verse 11, he says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day, the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. The word hallowed it meant he kept it holy or made it holy, kadosh. He made that day holy for you and me. It is interesting that it's one of the four commandments that helps you to be in touch with God. It's one of the four commandments is the basis for how we need to love and honor God. Remember, the first four are directed toward God. The last six are directed toward our relationships with human beings. Let me read to you some amazing quotes from Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11 from the electronic edition. So he talks about, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He says, at the same time, it is used, this word, is used to denote the seventh day which God at the beginning of the present worldly system consecrated to holy rest. He goes on to say, the word remember implies that it was well known and recognized. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why should they remember it? Because they had lots of experience with it, with the 6 days of manna and having to gather twice on that last day and having it stink when they didn't obey and not finding any when they didn't obey. Verse 10, this is commentary on verse 10. He says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, literally a Sabbath to the Lord your God. It's not about your Sabbath day. It's God's Sabbath day. It's a day that is honoring and worshiping Him. Now, it isn't the only day you worship God. A lot of people say, well, you're just I can worship God any day. That's right. You do worship God every day. But there's one day that's set apart by God for us to worship Him in a special way. And that's on His Sabbath day. He goes on to say in verse 10, in that you shall not work. He said, literally, you shall not do every work. You shall not work, shall not do every work. So again, some things you do on the Sabbath day, get up, you wash your hair, you wash your face, you shave, you do. Some of that is work, but it's not you're working for business. Skipping down, he talks about the animals. He says, thus the lower animals were allowed to participate in the privileges of the Sabbath in common with their owners, where he gives attention to the animals. Regarding the stranger, he says this, the foreigner, the mention of a stranger being able to observe the Sabbath is a proof that the command is not merely Jewish and has been frequently asserted. He goes on to say, as the commandment runs to keep the Sabbath, though he had not been circumcised. So while if he wanted to keep the Passover, he had to be circumcised. He did not have to be circumcised to keep the Sabbath. If he wanted to keep Passover, he had to be circumcised. If he wanted to keep Sabbath, he did not. He said, the Sabbath, therefore, is a universal institution. A universal institution. I thought that is really interesting. Then he talks about within your gates and how it needs to be continually kept. He talks about in the 6 days. He talks about the creative process. Again, Sabbath day. So only so much of the creative process is referred to as related to the law of the Sabbath, because the 6 days is not when God made all the heavens and the earth. It's when He readjusted them, those 6 days. Readjusted them. They were already made before that. Here it goes on to say, the law of the Sabbath was constituted a memorial of creation. The reason here assigned must be considered as demonstrating its universal obligation, because it appeals to everybody who's been made. He talks about for physical rest, though necessarily made prominent in the prohibitionary form of the enactment, and forming part of the law of the land was severely punishable. So when people disobeyed the Sabbath, they were severely punished. He also talks about the Sabbath, what's important, which was to afford the opportunity to worship God. One day set apart, specially to worship God. We should worship God every day of the week. We should pray daily. Jesus Christ said, offer your daily prayer. Ask for your daily bread, not your weekly bread. So you have to pray to Him daily for that. He goes on to say at the end, it has been said that this commandment alone of the 10 words is partly moral and partly positive. By the way, it is a positive commandment. It's not a thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. It is you shall do that. Like honor your father and mother is a positive commandment. This one's a positive commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It goes on to say, because it has a small addition of positive precept in the case of specified time for religious duties, but such an such an addition cannot affect the real character of the commandment. For although a circumstance may be appended or conjoined with it, it still remains intrinsically moral. A lot of people say, well, you know, we keep the moral law. We don't keep the Sabbath. It's kind of a ceremonial, ritual type thing. You go to church every week. He says it's moral. He goes on to say, being in its own nature eternal, of eternal and immutable obligation. So Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary here pretty much upholds and endorses God's Sabbath day. So this commandment is one of the four that tells us how to love God and show that love to Him. Let's look briefly then at Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 to 15, where this commandment is also mentioned among the ten. And here you'll see the difference. The major difference here is that God reminds them that they were slaves in Egypt, that they ought to value this day because there was a time when they could be forced to labor any time. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 12, we read this. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it. Again, set it apart as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days shall you labor, do all your work, but the seventh day, and he goes on to repeat the same basic things. Verse 15, remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt. While Exodus 20 gives us the aspect of the creation, this one tells them a little bit differently. Remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt. You were a slave, and that the Lord your God brought you out through a mighty hand, stretched out arm. Why did he do it? That they might come and worship him. Don't neglect the Sabbath day. Remember, you were slaves in Egypt. Your time was not your own. I am giving you time on the Sabbath to worship me. God commanded you to keep. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So Deuteronomy 5 emphasizes the fact that they now have been freed from their slavery and have the opportunity to worship him on God's Sabbath day. Exodus 31, I'm not going to read, but singles out the Sabbath day as special. He talks about them. This is a sign between me and you. Exodus 31, verses 12 to 17. A sign between me and you that you might know me. God's Sabbath day was that people might know him. And they lose sight of him as creator, as deliverer, as the one who saves them. They lose sight of that when they lose sight of God's Sabbath day. Israel did that. Israel neglected this commandment and went into captivity, as did Judah. Just notice a few verses. Jeremiah 17. They neglected it. It wasn't important to them anymore. Jeremiah 17, verse 19. Jeremiah 17 and verse 19. We read the prophet Jeremiah's words where he says, Jeremiah 17, verse 19, thus says the Lord to me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by which all go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem. Go stand there and warn them in this prime spot, and say to them, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by this way. Verse 21, thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves, bear no burden on the Sabbath, nor bring it into the gates into Jerusalem. And he says in verse 22, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath, neither do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day. Verse 22, as I commanded your fathers. Keep God's Sabbath day. Don't be doing your work on it. Then you go to Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, we find the prophet Ezekiel bringing this message. Certainly is Judah was already in captivity by this time, or Israel was, so it was not much of a warning for them. And right about the same time that Judah was going into captivity, in Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 11, here's his warning. He said, and I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. God's laws are to be practiced, are to be followed. Verse 12. Moreover, I gave to them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that does sanctify them. They know I'm the one that sets them apart, as I've set apart the Sabbath day. Verse 13. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Two things that God condemns Israel for. Went into captivity. Sabbath breaking and idolatry. Sabbath breaking and idolatry. Again and again. So he says, and I would pour out my fury upon them, verse 13, because in the wilderness to consume them. Skipping down verses 19 to 21, he said, I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgments and do them. And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you that you know that I am the Lord your God. When people lose the Sabbath, they lose sight of the true God. They don't grasp who he really is. They don't understand. Now, the Jews and the Israelites both turned their backs on God. And God had to send them into captivity. Now, the Jews repented and came back. And, of course, in captivity, they made the Babylonian Talmud. And they added a lot of do's and don'ts. Let's make sure we don't do this. Seven-eighths of a mile, Sabbath day's journey. Leave the fire burning. Don't have toilet paper on a roll that you have to tear. Just have it where it's sheets where you just pick it up. That lady who worked as a domestic servant who was in our church in Canada, worked for a Jewish family. One of her duties before sunset, she had to take the roll out of there and put just a pile of them so that they didn't have to tear that. One of her duties was to leave the stove lit on the whole day because it says don't make a fire on the Sabbath day. Of course, the fire was for doing business and doing work. It was not necessarily for eating purposes. But a manna has created a new microwave. Mr. Byers brought this to my attention, as did someone else, sent me an email on it. A manna now has a microwave with a Jewish setting. You can put it on the Jewish setting and it keeps it on bake and just ready, so they don't have to turn it on. All I have to do is push the start button. Put it in, push the start button. So there are a lot of do's and don'ts that were added to try to make sure you didn't break the Sabbath day because they went into captivity. One of the reasons, because they broke the Sabbath, because they weren't keeping God's way. And today, Jews know what day of the Sabbath is, and Jews know who they are. They do know who they are. They know the Sabbath day, and they know what day it is. So verse 19, verse 20 says, hallow my Sabbaths, and it'll be a sign between me and you that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Verse 21, notwithstanding the children rebelled against me, they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths, and I said I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. They didn't listen to me. They wouldn't listen to me. They wouldn't follow me. Now, what is the origin of the Sabbath? I've read some commentary saying, well, the first talking of the Sabbath was the Ten Commandments. Now, you go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1, and you'll find the Sabbath is here. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, way before the time of Moses. Way before the time of Moses. It is God's day. Genesis 2. Verses 1 to 3. In recapping the creation, going into some more detail, but in Genesis 2, verse 1, and the heavens and the earth were finished. That is reset. Reset to accommodate human beings. And all the host of them, and on the seventh day, notice, it wasn't one day, say, oh, God decided, I'm going to do it on, maybe I'll do it on Monday. Maybe I'll do it on the second day, third day. Maybe I'll do it on the fourth day. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the Sabbath, on the seventh day, from all his work which he had made. The Sabbath commandment in Exodus 20 harkens back to this. And in verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day. He sanctified it. The word sanctify it is kadosh. Same one that says keep it holy in Exodus 20, kadosh. He sanctified it. What does it mean to sanctify something? It means to set it apart. This was a special day. Okay? Emphasis on day, not emphasis on church. You know, you can go to church and then forget about the day. Its emphasis is on day. Bless the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. God put his very presence into it. Was God tired? God never gets tired. God never gets weary. Isaiah 40 talks about God never gets weary. He doesn't get tired. He's spirit being. He doesn't need to sleep. He doesn't need to eat. He's not running on human fuel. He doesn't get tired. But he put his presence in that day. Why? God made that first seventh day after humans were created holy. The day after they were created, he made the seventh day holy. He made it holy for us. That's the origin. Mark 2, verses 27 and 28, Jesus Christ identified himself as the one who certainly was there at the creation as well with his Father. The two of them doing it, probably Christ doing the enacting, God the Father doing the directing overall. But Mark 2, verses 27 and 28, we find, what is the true Lord's Day today? You hear a lot about, do you keep the Lord's Day, brother? Do you keep the Lord's Day? What day is the Lord's Day? Let's answer it real quickly from the Scriptures. And he said to me, the Sabbath was made for man. God gave the Sabbath as a gift to man. And not man for the Sabbath. He didn't create the Sabbath and say, no, let's see, I've got to figure out somebody who could do this. Let's see, who can I find that can keep this law? I'll make some human beings. Maybe make some cattle too. So they can rest. That's what I'll do. Got this law, I don't know who's going to do with it. What am I going to do with it? No, he made man first. He gave them the Sabbath as a gift. And verse 28, therefore, for this reason, the Son of Man, that's Jesus Christ, is Lord also of the Sabbath. What day is the Lord's day? The Sabbath is the Lord's day. That's the day he set apart, not Sunday, the Sabbath. And how often should we keep it, and when should we keep it? From sunset to sunset. Sunset to sunset, we find the principle in Leviticus 23:32. Leviticus 23:32. We find the principle here in talking about one of the annual Sabbaths, which God has lumped in the weekly Sabbath to it. We'll come back to that one in a moment. But Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 32, talking about the Day of Atonement, he says, it shall be to you a Sabbath of rest. You shall afflict your souls in the ninth month of the at even, from even to even, evening to evening, shall you keep, celebrate your Sabbath. Now that applies to the holy days. It also applies to the weekly Sabbath. From evening to evening, you keep your Sabbath. Now, what does even mean? Mark 1, verse 32. I closed this loop when I found this scripture. Mark 1, verse 32. From evening to evening, from sunset to sunset. Used to be a song out by the Young Ambassadors, sunset to sunset, you know, that they used to sing. Mark 1, verse 32. And at evening, when the sun did set. So when is evening? Sunset. They brought to him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, demons. At sunset, after the Sabbath, when sunset, at evening, when the sun did set. So evening and sunsetting are paralleled here, or equal here. So therefore, what does even to even mean? It means sunset to sunset. What are some of the purposes? Now, let me read, before I go to the purposes, let me read you the fundamental belief statement from the church, from our Constitution, its fundamental beliefs. 3.1.10. We believe that the seventh day of the week is the Sabbath of the Lord our God. On this day, we are commanded to rest from our labors and worship God, following the teachings and example of Jesus, the apostles, and the New Testament church. some of the purposes for the Sabbath day. Why did God give the Sabbath day? What should we think about on that day? What should it be about for us? Exodus 31:13. God teaches us, and I'm just going to quote the scripture. You can write it down. I'm just going to give you the information because I want to wrap up pretty quickly. Exodus 31:13 tells us it is a day to know God. The Sabbath day is a day for us to know God better, more than we normally do during the week. So we'll probably get extra Bible study, maybe extra prayer, and extra meditation, extra rest. There are a lot of things that we could do. But prayer, study, meditation, a great thing to do on God's Sabbath day. Why? You want to get to know God better. Come worship for Him at church. We'll see that as another one. Number two, Isaiah 58:13 tells us to honor God and delight in Him, not finding our own pursuits, not seeking our own pleasure having to do with doing our jobs, pleasure having to do with any pursuits that we want to find. That's what he says, not finding. In fact, I found from 26 translations, rather interesting, the Bible, an American translation, puts it this way, not doing your business as opposed to pleasure. It says not following your accustomed ways. The New American Bible puts it this way, not following your own pursuits, not following your own ways. Another one from the Modern Language Bible, New Berkeley edition, says, do not tramp upon the Sabbath by doing your own business. This all comes from Isaiah 58:13. The New English Bible puts it this way, keep my holy day free from your own affairs. Also goes on to say, not seeking your own interest or attending to your own affairs. The New Jerusalem Bible puts it this way, keep your foot from doing business on the holy day by abstaining from travel, from doing business, and from gossip. It talks about speaking your own words, from gossip. So when I started keeping the Sabbath in Pasadena, when I first started keeping the Sabbath, I mean, felt like I was in a straitjacket. I felt like I was really... Well, here comes sunset. Get ready. Oh, no. I don't know. What should I say? What should I speak? What should I think? And it really put me in a constricting way because I did not understand. I was a new Christian. I was trying to keep it to the best of my ability. My brother Dave walked through the living room backwards so he didn't see the TV. My dad was watching TV, wasn't in the church. He walked through backwards so he didn't ever have even put his eyes on the TV because he didn't want to watch TV on the Sabbath. I felt constricted. When I would take a girl, we used to walk about a mile to Bible study or to Bible study Friday evenings and a mile Sabbath. When I would have a date, which wasn't very often my freshman year because I didn't really date much my freshman year, but my sophomore year, when I would take somebody with me, my wife tells me they were all afraid of me because I believed you shouldn't talk about anything unless it was Bible or news. I might ask them how they were. How are you? Okay, now, what was that sermon about today? And what did we go over? And how many scriptures can we remember? And what were the points that were covered? So my wife said, the only way you could get around it if you were a fast talker. So she said she was a fast talker. She didn't know the scriptures as much, but she was a fast talker. But I believed that I should not say anything about anything else all day long, unless it was either about the Bible or about world news or perhaps about family life, but not much else. Now, again, I was very narrow and very constricted in my thinking, but I do think we ought to understand the Sabbath is not a day for planning all of our activities. The Sabbath is not a day for planning all of our business. The Sabbath is a day that we need to keep holy. And if we sent a note around in this room and said, do you believe to keep the Sabbath day holy? Do you believe in keeping the Sabbath day holy? I would believe it would be 100% yes. But if you talk about what do you do on the Sabbath day, do you put your dishes in the sink or do you just leave them where you ate them on the table, finished the meal on the table, if it's into sunset? Do you ever heat up anything? One lady we visited one time, we were glad we did because she said, yeah, she said, I don't, because she believed what the Jews had taught about you can't light a fire, so she couldn't turn on her stove. So she said, well, I cooked my eggs the night before, like scrambled, and I put them in the refrigerator, and we eat them cold the next day. So we tried to help her understand that, you know, that wasn't the intent of lighting a fire on the Sabbath. Obviously, if you're going to be making a big meal, you should prepare as much of it as you possibly can beforehand. That's the principle. Prepare that which you can beforehand. But we all need to step up in keeping God's Sabbath day. Let's not let it be neglected. Watch our words. Watch our pleasures. Watch what we do on God's Sabbath day. And I can tell you on the airplane, I was private to this information, Mr. Armstrong was playing solitaire. He was coming back from a church visit. He was on the plane flying back. He was tired, bushy. He was just sitting there playing solitaire. And somebody said, Mr. Armstrong, it's the Sabbath. And he said, I know. I'm not trying to beat anybody. I'm just trying to play cards. I'm just sitting here relaxing with playing cards. And they thought he was breaking the Sabbath, violating it, because he was playing cards with himself, not any game, not trying to get it. So, again, everybody would have, some people say, I turn my TV off. I don't want my servant to work. Do you turn your air conditioning off when it's 99 degrees out because you don't want your servant to work? Do you drive your car? Don't drive your car because you want your servant to work. So again, there are a lot of things that some people will not go out and eat on Saturday night, Friday night on Sabbath, and that's their choice. Nobody's telling you how to specifically, because it doesn't say scripturally. It gives us general principles. But the Sabbath day was set apart for you to honor God and delight in Him. I was not delighting in Him. I was feeling constricted. I wasn't saying, this is God's day, this is special to Him, I'm so glad to be His servant, so happy to worship Him, so happy to honor Him. I was feeling like, this is the day, okay, when's this day going to be over? I can't wait, because I can't wait to get out of this straitjacket. God's Sabbath is to be called a delight, and to honor God. Honor God by all we do on that day. Leviticus 23, verses 1 to 4 tells us to assemble. To assemble as a congregation. These are holy convocations of the Lord. The Sabbath was one of the holy days that listed. A day to assemble. So another thing we do, a purpose of the Sabbath day, is for us to assemble. Acts 18, verse 4 and 11. It's a time to receive instruction. It's a time to be taught. Acts 18, let me turn to that one. Acts 18, verses 4 and 11. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, persuaded Jews and Greeks. In verse 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So it is a time to receive instruction. It's a time to receive learning. Another reason, the fifth reason. So number one was to know God. Number two is to honor God and delight in Him. Number three is to assemble as a congregation. Number four is to receive instruction. Number five is to fellowship. Interestingly, Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25 says, do not neglect the assembling of yourselves assembling. That's what it means. Don't neglect assembling of yourselves assembling. I'm reminded of our young cousin friend who came from Wisconsin, who was Catholic. And she said, I've got to go to church because there's a church nearby. Because Catholics teach if you miss their services without being sick or having a valid reason, that is considered a mortal sin. If you die without repenting, you will go straight to hell. A mortal sin. To miss church. Now again, what do we say? Well, Bible talks about certainly it's a time to fellowship. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves assembling. Why? Well, I could listen in at home, can I? Yeah, you could. I could get a tape. I don't have to stay home, just get it. I'll just be 1 week behind. Yeah, you could. What don't you do? You don't influence anyone else with your example. What don't you do? You're not there to be a part of a whole. So again, to fellowship, to be with God's people, to be able to share with them. Number six is it is a reminder of creation, and as God being our Creator. It is a reminder to us of where we owe our existence. It is a reminder to us what God did for us, the beauty that we have around us, and sometimes a nice walk on the Sabbath day, not more than 7/8 of a mile. No, I'm teasing you. But a walk and looking at God's handiwork is something beautiful, something awesome, something wonderful, to see sights that are beautiful that God has produced or allowed to be produced on this earth. Exodus 20, verse 11 says again, to remind us of God's creation and Him as our Creator. Number seven, the seventh point, is to have a picture of the kingdom of God. It is a picture of the kingdom rest. And that's in Hebrews 4, verses 1 to 4, where He likens the Sabbath day, the seventh day, to the rest that we should all want to enter into. The rest that we could want at one time we may have. And that ultimate rest is the kingdom of God. So we have a picture of God's kingdom to come, that kingdom rest by keeping the Sabbath day. And number eight, last one I'll give you, is it is a day of rest. The word Shabbat means rest. It is a day of rest. There may be some days that you rest more than you would normally do. Maybe you had a horrible, exhausting week. Sabbath comes, you may rest more than you normally have done. Some days you may fellowship. Maybe you come to church, you visit with people for a while, you find people, say, hey, let's go to dinner, come on over to my house, let's have an evening. You may end up spending a lot of time fellowshipping. That may be your emphasis. Other days, you may emphasize more the study, the meditation, the prayer. So, again, we try to achieve a balance on it, but all of them are equally valid. But it's a time to rest. And you find that in Luke 23, verse 56, when the ladies came back. Let's look at that. Luke 23, verse 56, point number eight on purposes for the Sabbath day. Luke 23 and verse 56. And they returned and prepared the spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. They rested. So Sabbath day is for rest. It's for physical rejuvenation. It's for spiritual rejuvenation. All right, as we bring this down to a close, certainly the Bible talks about broad principles. It says in Matthew 12:12, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. Lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. Jesus Christ talked about it's okay to water your herd and pull an ox out of a ditch. Again, should you go have a business that says, I pull oxes out of ditches on Sabbath? No, you shouldn't. But what if there was an animal that's in trouble? Would you rescue the animal? Of course you could. What if your neighbor's house is on fire and they need help in getting people out? Well, I'd really like to help you, but I'll be late for church. Go help them. Help them. People are important. So, but again, he gives that out because he says if you have an ox in the ditch, remember they were criticizing him because he would heal on the Sabbath day. If you have an ox in the ditch, don't you pull him out? If you have an ox, a cattle or a donkey that's thirsty, don't you give it something to drink? Sure you do, he talked. Shouldn't I make these people better on the Sabbath day? It's okay to take care of your livestock or your animals on the Sabbath day. That doesn't mean you go out and shovel out the barn, you know, let's get rid of all the manure, let's get all clean this up. No, but if your animal needs to be tended to, you tend to it on that day. You don't let it suffer. Nehemiah 13:15 says, don't bear burdens on the Sabbath day. It's not a time to do your work. Nehemiah 10:31 tells us don't buy or sell on the Sabbath day. It's not a day that we should be going out and buying and selling on the Sabbath day, transacting business. Amos 4, verse 5 is an interesting scripture. Amos 4 and verse 5, because it says they were rushing the Sabbath, as was mentioned by Mr. Wasilkoff in his sermonette. Not that part, but he was mentioning about people wanting to get, well, when's the Sabbath going to be over that we can go do this? Let's hurry up. Let's get this over with so we can go do this. So once again, rushing the end of the Sabbath. 65 times the word Sabbath is used in the New Testament. 65 plus, I might have miscounted one or two. Adam Clark's commentary brings this out, which I think is rather interesting. says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's on Exodus 20, verse 8. He said, since this was the most ancient institution, God calls upon them to remember it. He refers back to Genesis 2:2, as if he had said, do not forget what I had finished. When I had finished my creation, I instituted the Sabbath. Remember why I did so and for what purposes. The word Shabbat signifies rest or cessation for labor. It typifies the rest which remains for the people of God. He goes on to say, the moral obligation of the Sabbath must continue till time be swallowed up in eternity. The keeping of the Sabbath, the moral obligation to keep it, must remain. I thought it was really interesting. Adam Clark, Jameson Fawcett, and Brown commentaries bring that out to us. Okay, as we wrap this up, in conclusion, Jesus Christ kept the Sabbath day, as was his custom. Luke 4 and verse 16. Is it your custom? It ought to be, if you're following Jesus. Oh, well, he was a Jew. He's just doing all these Jewish things till he could undo all those Jewish things, till he would nail to the cross. He kept all those laws, therefore the law's nailed to the cross. Christ's on the cross. He's nailed. He was the embodiment of the law. He's nailed to the cross. The law's nailed to the cross. You don't have to do it anymore. Now, Jesus Christ set us an example. We should walk in his steps. And we're very wise to distinguish the difference between a Jewish ritual and a commandment of God. And here he was doing a commandment of God. For he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, Luke 4:16, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And this day he stood up to read. And they were astonished at him that he knew the scriptures. They were astonished. But his custom was to go into the keep the Sabbath day. Go into the synagogue on the Sabbath. That's where they gathered. That's where they met. Acts 17:2, the Apostle Paul did the same thing. His custom and his manner, Acts 17 and verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Now you can say, well, he figured there'd be a lot of people there in that synagogue. He might as well go there. Prime meeting place. Sabbath day was important. He could have met with them other places too if he chose. Acts 13 is very important, verses 42 to 44. Because many times you'll be challenged, well, it was a Jewish Sabbath anyway, and the Jews kept it, and it was all changed. See, Paul had been instructed by Christ already. Paul had been personally taught by Jesus Christ. And in Acts 13, verse 42, we read this, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, Paul didn't say, you don't have to wait till Sabbath. Sunday's the Lord's day. I'll teach you tomorrow. The Gentiles wanted them preached the next Sabbath. Skipping down to verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. He didn't say, you know what, I have new revelation from Christ. You don't have to keep this Sabbath. It's already been done away. Keep Sunday. No. Sabbath was still in vogue and taught to the Gentiles. Hebrews 4:9 is the one scripture. Hebrews 4, verse 9. That I was reading a lot of commentary on. About the keeping of a Sabbath. I'll share that last part with you in a moment. Hebrews 4, verse 9. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. That's King James. If you check the margin, it says, my margin says, a keeping of a Sabbath. The Greek word for rest here is sabbatismos. It is only used here. The only place in all the New Testament that word, which is a derivation from the word sabbaton, which is Sabbath. It's a derivation from the word Sabbath. This is sabbatismos. a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Everywhere else in this chapter where he refers to the word rest, and it's many times, is translated from the Greek word katapason. Rest, rest, rest. He uses rest to refer to the kingdom. He uses rest. But down in verse 9, he says, there remains a keeping of a Sabbath to the people of God. So some of the commentaries brought out, well, this can't possibly mean Sabbath. It must mean something else. He's just talking about it being a special rest. But when I looked it up in Thayer's lexicon, it puts it this way: a keeping of a Sabbath, a blessed rest from toils and troubles looked for in the age to come by true worshipers of God and true Christians. He also says, the RV, Revised Version, calls it a Sabbath rest. That's Thayer's lexicon. Let me read to you from Adam Clark. Adam Clark puts it this way. He said, the second meaning, that's of sabbatismos, as opposed to a katapason, not only a rest from labor, but a religious rest. Sabbatismos, a rest of a sacred kind of which both soul and body partake. So it could be for the future, talking about God's kingdom, but also at present. And finally, I looked this one up Lo and Nida, Greek lexicon of the New Testament. Here's what they say on the subject sabbatismos: a special, religiously significant period for rest and worship. A Sabbath rest. A period of rest. So he says, what a quote says, there still remains for God's people a period of rest. A sabbatismos. A Sabbath rest. So it does come a derivation from the word sabbaton. And it's only used there. So it is interesting. He could have not confused anybody. He could just use katapason again. But he didn't use katapason, the other word for rest. He used sabbatismos. There remains for the people of God, those who choose to worship God and honor him, those who use the Sabbath day effectively to pray, study, worship, rest, who follow him and worship for fellowship and use it as a feast day too. It ought to be a day that you make special. Ought to be a day you make special. It is one of the feast days of God. Hebrews 2 verses 1 to 3. Hebrews 2 verses 1 to 3. Let's conclude. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Israelites let the Sabbath slip out of their lives. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If we neglect one of God's holy commandments, how will we ever escape? So Israel, they let God's Sabbath slip through their fingers. Let's not let this precious, meaningful law slip away from our lives.